Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is a Marvel Monday episode, and today I'm going to be talking about the five-issue miniseries Phoenix Resurrection. It's from the team of Matt Rosenberg. Linnell Francis Yu handles the art on the first issue. I think Carlos Pacheco handles the art on the second, and Joe Bennett is an artist as well. We also have Jerry Allen Guillen as inker on issue one, as well as Rochelle Rosenberg as color artist and Travis Lanham as letterer. So I will be sure and let you know as I go through the issues when it's a different artist handling the art duties. So I bought this series. I was like, oh, they're bringing Jean Grey back. I've been trying to get back into the X-Men. I mean, it's been so long since I've read the X-Men and been caught up. And being that there was just such a huge amount of content for so long, I mean, there's a lot of classic stuff that I've never read, things that are, you know, 15 years old now that I've just never read. So not sure how exactly I'm going to get all caught up, but I thought, well, let me see if I can jump in here and understand exactly what's going on. I know Jean's been gone for a while. Don't even necessarily know how she died. So been going back and just doing a little Google research on that after I read the series to kind of get caught up. And I mean, that's part of the issue, right? Like, yeah, people want to read about the X-Men and you're a casual fan. It's kind of tough. Like, okay, where was she? Why was she dead? I mean, honestly, I feel like Jean Grey's died more than any other person in comics. And the fact that she's been dead as long as she has, I was surprised. She was killed in New X-Men 150. It was like her most recent, like, okay, she's really dead this time kind of thing, right? And that was 2004, so 14 years ago. But then, of course, Den is never really dead, and she actually returned just the following year in Phoenix Endsong in 2005. And then she has showed up a few times here or there since then, but mostly as being seen in kind of an afterlife, right? So technically doesn't really count or whatever, but now we see she's back for good. And I mean, this is the thing. Like, once it was established that Jean and the Phoenix Force are kind of one and the same, there's a connection there. Can she ever really stay dead? Like, as long as the Phoenix Force exists? Probably not, right? So again, I wanted to pick this up and see how they were going to bring her back, what was really going to happen. I mean, there's a lot of rumors with Uncanny X-Men coming back. Professor X has been brought back. I think Cyclops is the only one that hasn't. We also have the, you know, original five X-Men, the younger versions that are in our reality. Supposedly the extermination event that's going on right now is supposed to clean that up. But there's rumors that we're going to get a new Uncanny X. Well, we know we're going to get a new Uncanny X-Men title, but there's rumors that Marvel's going to try to clean up a lot of that X-Men continuity, make everything a lot easier, you know, for new readers who want to jump on. And I think, you know, bringing Jean back, bringing Professor Xavier back, and kind of thinning out the number of X-Men titles that are out there so we can kind of have a better understanding is a good way to go. I mean, we see in this series with Kitty Pryde kind of leading the team, and she, several times during the course of the series, she's splitting the X-Men up into groups. I mean, it's like 20 people. There are so many characters, and I'm like, I'm not even sure who all these characters are at this point, right? So, and again, I haven't been reading X-Men steadily in probably 20 plus years, so that's no surprise. But again, I mean, there are plenty of people out there who might want to read X-Men who know even less than I do, right? Like, at least I'm able to, like, go to Marvel Wikia or whatever and read a little bit, and kind of I can get caught up a lot quicker than the average person because just tangentially kind of understand, you know, what's going on. So again, I just wanted to pick this up and read it, see if it was any good. I did enjoy it, but it also felt a little tired, to be honest with you. It's like it didn't feel like it, you know, broke any new ground or it did anything special. It did what it set out to do. It brought Jean Grey back, but it didn't, again, it just didn't break any new ground. It wasn't anything that was like, oh, I'm so glad I read that. That was like really cool. It wasn't that. It was a serviceable story. It brought Jean back. It, you know, reinforced all the things that we know about her already. You know, she's a leader. She's heroic. And even the things that it does attempt to change, and you think, okay, so this is a big difference that they're going to try going forward, right? Kind of try to separate Jean and the Phoenix Force as personas, and maybe we won't see the Phoenix Force again. Like, that's only going to last for as long as a writer doesn't want to make the change, right? Like, as soon as another writer comes on and says, oh, I need to do something different and interesting with Jean, let's bring the Phoenix Force back, then we're right back in the same boat, right? So let me go through the issues again. I'm not going to break them down, you know, in depth, but I just want to give an overall impression of, or just a general idea of what happens in each issue. The story starts out, we see a couple of kids in Annadale on the Hudson, which is the town that Jean grew up in, riding their bikes. They come across a girl who is bleeding from the head and has black pupils, a black-eyed kid, if you will, to talk about an Aftershock title real quick. And she speaks kind of like Zatanna. She's speaking backwards. It's, we were better off dead. But again, she's speaking backwards. And then we see someone else show up and say, hi, I want to play Frisbee. And these kids are like, what's going on? Where'd the other girl go? Please stop. We see, watch out. And for those not familiar, so want to play Frisbee? That's Jean's childhood friend, Anna Richards. When Jean first manifested her powers, they were playing Frisbee. Anna Richards got hit by a car. Jean, in trying to comfort her, was cradling Anna in her hands and connected to her as she died. And Jean carried that around with her for many, many years. It caused trauma and all kinds of other issues. So that's who the girl is here. That's saying, do you want to play Frisbee? The girl laying on the ground with the black eyes, clearly Jean. At one point she yells, watch out. And then 2 hours later, we see the X-Men show up. They got a reading from Cerebro, and Rachel Summers has a nosebleed. She's saying she doesn't really feel right. Nightcrawler takes her back to the plane. Meanwhile, Kitty and Storm and Old Man Logan, Colossus are there talking to the sheriffs, trying to figure out what's going on. They're saying, yeah, this weirdness going on. Take a look for yourself. And we see these two children. They're floating about 3 feet off the ground. They appear to be bleeding from the head, but there's nothing really wrong with them. And again, it's bleeding from the head, hit by a car, Anna Richards. It's, you know, clearly there's clues going on here. So Jean calls all the X-Men together, and again, it's a lot of people. There's Domino, there's Bishop, there's Sabretooth, there's Angel, Rogue, Old Man Logan, Psylocke, Chamber, Forge, Jubilee, Strong Guy, Shatterstar, Storm, Colossus, Young Cyclops, Young Beast, Hank McCoy, X-23. I mean, there's a lot of people. And Kitty explains what's going on about finding the kids and needing to figure out what's going on. And they say, we found three other incidents of this strange radiation that Cerebro detected. And so we're going to split into teams to go find out. So one is in Midtown, one is in France, and one is at the North Pole. So they split up. And as each team goes to their respective spot, they're attacked by old enemies of the X-Men, whether it's the Hellfire Club or Magneto, or I'm trying to remember the third guy's name. It's one of Magneto's old acolytes, Seamus, who has the ability to absorb life forces. So although the teams fight valiantly, they're ultimately unsuccessful. They're just overwhelmed. They can't win, basically. But then all the antagonists disappear, and as they all look up to the sun, they see that the sun has a phoenix symbol superimposed over it. And then the scene shifts to elsewhere. We see a diner. And we see a young woman named Jean. At least that's what her name tag says on her waitress uniform, looking up at the sky. Saying, that's weird. And the Jean and her fellow waitress Gladys go back inside, with Gladys asking, Annie, did you see that? It was like a big bird inside the sun. And Annie says, a bird in the sun? Sounds like you've been binging on the rum raisin ice cream again. Did you see it too, Jeannie? Jeannie says, really couldn't tell what I saw. Could have just been some clouds. Meanwhile, Jean goes over to serve Mr. Cassidy his breakfast. Mr. Sean Cassidy, tells the good lass he's trying to make up her mind. We see Jean walk home. We see her say hi to her parents. She's tired. Maybe she'll just take a rain check on dinner. But her parents don't want them to miss her guest, right? Jean says, guest? She goes and opens the door. There's Scott. Hello, sweetheart. Miss me? And the story's to be continued. So, issue 2. We see that it wasn't just in that elsewhere place that the sun was superimposed with the Phoenix. All the X-Men teams, the three teams that split up, they saw it as well. So did an astronaut in space. So meanwhile, Jean is sleeping in her bed. She's saying, it's better this way. Quick, clean, final. And then she's using her telekinesis without realizing it. Everything in her room is floating, and it crashes down to the ground as she wakes up from her dream. The next day, she's running late for work, and she says hi to Jamie, who is mowing the lawn. And she says, I don't know how you get all that you do done. I can't even get to my one job, and it seems like you're 10 places at once. And as she drives away, we see that he is 10 places at once, because it's Jamie Madrox. It's the multiple man. Meanwhile, at the Xavier Institute, the X-Men are talking about what's going on. And Logan's like, we know what it is. You know, we all saw the flaming bird in the sky. Let's quit talking about the fact that we're not sure what it is and trying to get a handle on what happened. It's the Phoenix. And Beast, Hank McCoy, says, Logan's right. Signal Cerebro had us chasing didn't necessarily show us the presence of a mutant. So that's it, right? It sent them places because of the strange radiation, but they're manifestations from Jean, from the fact that she's in this elsewhere place. So Storm says, well, if Cerebro could find him last time, then let's have him find some more. Let's get out there and find the Phoenix Force and stop it. And Kitty and Hank look at each other and they say, Cerebro hasn't found any new signals because we don't have anyone who can use it right now. Psylocke's recovering from injuries. No one knows where Monet or Legion are. Hope, Quentin, Teen Jean, Cuckoos are missing. We assume it's related to the Phoenix phenomenon, and it's actually something that's going on in Jean Grey number 10, if you're reading that series. But Cable says not all of them. It looks like he's volunteering. Meanwhile, Jean's back at the diner, and we see Magneto's there, order some food, and make some small talk. He definitely acts like he knows who she is, but she doesn't seem to know who he is. When Cable tries to use Cerebro, it backfires on him. He's left not in good shape. And as Jean is talking to Annie, Annie's trying to reassure her that she's fine and tells Jean that she's worried. Maybe she should go talk to Dr. McTaggart. And Jean says that she will and takes the food out to Magneto, but he's gone. So meanwhile, Kitty decides that it's time to split up again. They manage to salvage some coordinates before Cerebro overloaded and took Cable out with it, so they're splitting into squads again. But it bears repeating, the Phoenix can end all life on this planet if it chooses. Let's do our job, let's move fast, let's prepare for the worst. So we see one team go to Jamaica Bay, New York. We see another one in the ruins of Genosha. We see another below New York in the city sewers. Another team is in the Savage Land. And another team is attacked by Magneto. They've gone back to the Hellfire Club. And as they're fighting Magneto, in the middle of the fight, he just disappears. As he disappears, Eric is back in the diner. So, again, it's clear that it's Jean that's creating these. It's Jean who is somehow making these people appear. They're not the actual real people. They're psychic manifestations. And the psychic manifestation of Magneto asks Jean if she's okay. She says, yeah, I feel a bit better. As she looks outside and elsewhere is burning with a Phoenix symbol in the distance. So as we move to issue 3, I think we have a different artist. Yeah, it's Joe Bennett now on art. We see Jean flying the shuttle. She's still in her waitress outfit, but she's flying the shuttle like she did way back when she first crashed it into Jamaica Bay and got the Phoenix powers. And people are yelling at her, Jean, wake up, come back to us. She wakes up elsewhere again. She passed out in the grocery store, apparently. They called the doctor. They want her to stay, but she says, no, I have to go, and she runs off. Meanwhile, in Jamaica Bay, New York, we see a father and son fishing when their boat is basically consumed by a giant fire that erupts out of the water. So again, it's got to be Jean making these things happen, right? So Jean runs out of the store, climbs in her car, drives off. So meanwhile, at the Cockrum Hill Cemetery, Dave Cockrum, shout out there, in upstate New York, we see the team of Young Cyclops, Beast, Kitty, Pride, Old Man Logan, and I can't remember what her last name is, Danny Moon something from the X-Men. Let me see if I can look it up real fast here, otherwise it's going to drive me crazy. Danny Moonstar, that's it. So they're going to look at Jean's grave, and sure enough, when they get there, the body's not there. It's been dug up, and the coffin is empty. So Kitty says, if we're going to find her, we need Cerebro. We're finding Blind right now. And Hank says, well, that's fine. I can get it back up and running, but you're still going to need a psychic. And Kitty's response is, oh, we'll get someone. Meanwhile, we find out that Jean is having trouble with her car in elsewhere. And she took it to the garage of Mr. Patch. So it's Logan. And you're starting to sense a theme here. Like everybody, all these people that she's interacting with in this elsewhere place, they're all the dead people, right? They're all the dead people. Jamie Madrox, Anna Richards, Logan. So the psychic that Kitty has in mind is actually Emma Frost. And Emma says that, you know, I don't need to use Cerebro to know where she is when Scott and I were whatever we were. And he would think about her. It was always that plateau in New Mexico. Meanwhile, Jean is walking home because her car's broken down. And we see a shadowy figure following her, calling her name, saying, you can't run anymore, Jean. It appears it could be the Phoenix Force. Red hair, green costume. Could be. So Jean gets home. She locks the door behind her. She says, I'm okay. I'm okay. Someone's ringing the doorbell. Ding dong, ding dong. Knock, 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 knock. And Jean's screaming to be left alone. Please just leave me. alone. But when she turns around, the house is in flames, and we see a figure floating in the air. "Hello, Jean. I thought it was time we talked." And there she is, Jean Grey, in the classic Phoenix outfit, the green and yellow one. So meanwhile, New Mexico, the X-Men arrive, and there's nothing there. Several of them quickly express a desire to leave. And it's Ileana Rasputin who realizes there's something going on. Since there is something here, it's making us all want to leave so much. And she swings her sword and says, "Ta-da!" And apparently it's a giant egg. It's a giant egg that Ileana has just sliced a doorway in. And the story is to be continued in issue 4. So issue 4 starts out. Jean has been sleeping in her wreck of a house. She wakes up after being curled up on the floor, saying, "Damn it, what time is it? Did I oversleep again?" And the house is just in shambles. And she's wondering where she left her keys. So what's interesting is, to her, everything looks normal. To everybody else, things are not in good shape. So, where, like, behind Jean is shambles, but in the little bubble around her, reality seems normal. But when she turns back, if she turns her head, wherever she looks, it's normal. But just outside of her vision, things are burning. Meanwhile, the X-Men decide to go into the egg, and they're not in there very long before they're attacked, and they realize that they're being attacked by dead X-Men. So their speculation is that Jean is in here somewhere as a prisoner of the Phoenix Force, and these dead X-Men are there to try to slow them down or kill them. So while the majority of the X-Men hold them off, Kitty, Lorna Dane, Old Man Logan, and Iceman head off to look for Jean. And they come across the diner, Annie's diner. And Jean comes walking out, and Old Man Logan is surprised to see her. "Jeannie! Jean!" She can't see them, right? Like, they look around and they see burning, they see desolation. But Jean can't see them. When she looks around, everything looks normal to her. And Iceman remarks that this is really bad. So Jean walks in, talking about it's a slow morning, wondering where everyone is. And we see Annie talking to her, talking to Jean and trying to reassure her. Meanwhile, Hank and the rest of the X-Men show up, meet back up with Kitty. Hank's saying that our dead friend's just up and vanished. Seems like an omen, but I'm holding off on bad judgment, on judging whether that's good or bad. What did I miss here? So they talk about seeing Jean, taking out the trash. And Hank starts formulating a theory. He's like, I think this place was built for Jean. The Phoenix Force brought her back to life so it can merge with her. It needs a host, but she's not ready. So this is like an egg, and it's preparing her. It's incubating her. We're in its egg. And Hank says, the good news is if she's here and she's alive, she's playing a role. She's still Jean. And the young Scott says, we need to get her away from it. And Hank makes a great point. He's like, there is no get away from it. Phoenix can go anywhere at any time and merge with Jean whenever she wants. And Old Man Logan says, we're all dead. And Hank says, I didn't want to say that, but if they merge, yes, we're all dead. Meanwhile, Jean's talking about having had a dream that she talked to a goddess and wanted to prepare her for something. And Annie Richards is saying, you think it was one of those aspirational dreams, like it could be you? And Jean says, no, it was just a dream, Annie. Meanwhile, Kitty's asking, if this is an egg to protect her, why did it let her in? Well, maybe the reason it let her in, let them in, rather, is because it needs the X-Men to hatch the egg. And as they're speculating on that, we see a giant flaming phoenix appear on the roof of the diner. So the phoenix isn't bonded with Jean yet. It's in a weakened state. If it is bonded with her, it could wipe them all out. But it seems like the Phoenix Force wants to fight. It wants to kill the X-Men in front of Jean. Why? Because that will be what sends Jean over the edge. That will be what causes Jean to hatch. So someone needs to go in there and talk to Jean. And young Scott Summers volunteers. And old man Logan says, "You got stone, kids, but it should be me." Scott says, "That's Jean in there. I don't know why we need to send a cold-blooded..." Old man Logan says, "Hey, that's not your Jean. The woman you know and love is going to show up and be just fine. This isn't her, kid. You didn't ever love that woman in there. I did." And Kitty agrees, saying, "Logan's right. It should be him." And whispers to Logan out of earshot of everyone else, "I know you love her, but if the Phoenix manages to bond with Jean..." And old man Logan says, "I know what I have to do." And he walks inside for the final issue. So final issue, we have both Linnell Francis Yu and Jean Bennett, or Joe Bennett rather, on the art duties. And it starts off with Logan walking inside the diner and ordering a cup of coffee from Jean, trying to break through to her, trying to see if she recognizes him. Meanwhile, we can tell Annie is nervous. She's telling him, "Why don't you just get that coffee to go and be on your way, buddy?" And when he tries to touch Jean, she yells at him, "Don't touch her." Meanwhile, Logan's telling her, "Somewhere in there, you know, none of this is real." And Jean's not sure. She's like, What do you mean? He says, "You're smart, Jeannie. You can figure it out." Annie moves over closer, saying, "Okay, Chief, that's enough. You don't get to come in here and scare my staff. Why don't you take a..." And Logan pops his claws and cuts her throat. Jean screams, "No!" And Logan, without missing a beat, says, "I'll take a refill when you have a minute." Meanwhile, the rest of the X-Men are waiting outside. It starts to rain. There's an earthquake. Inside the diner, Jean wants to know what he did. Logan says, "I just wanted you to see what's really going on. This is a wake-up call. You don't like what's going on? It's my job to make you see it." And we see Annie stand up. And Jean saying, "What? You just died. How are you already back?" And Logan says, "Things aren't always what they seem. It's starting to come back. You remember who you are? I'm going to need an answer, sweetheart," as he starts to pop his claws. And Jean finally remembers. And she says, "Yes, I remember, Logan." And he's thrown out of the diner. And we see Jean walk out. She's not wearing her green and yellow Phoenix outfit. It's the black and red Phoenix. It could be in for a lot of trouble. So she says, "Hi, Bobby. Hi, Aurora." They both say hi to Jean. She wonders why Scott looks so young. It's not the Scott she thinks. Meanwhile, Hank asks, "Is it you, Jean? Is it who you are?" She says, "Yes, it's who I've always been, Hank." And we see the Phoenix Force trying to bond with her. She's not having it, though. Jean says, "Why can't you just leave me?" And we see Annie Richards walk out of the Phoenix Force. The Phoenix Force is taking the form of Annie Richards and has been all along. And she's trying to talk Jean into coming with her. She says, "They're trying to trick you. Just talk to me." Jean says, "No, they're not tricking me. You are. Annie Richards died when we were 12, the Frisbee, the car, I remember it all." And the Phoenix Force responds, "But that's the point. It doesn't have to be that way. We can bond and we can have whatever we want." Jean says, "I don't want anything." Right? She just wants the Phoenix Force to stop, despite the fact that the Phoenix Force then starts manifesting other people that Jean's cared about who've died, her parents, Scott. She says, "No, you're all dead." "Yeah, Jean, but you can save us if you'll just..." "No," and she obliterates everyone. She tells the Phoenix Force, "It's over. I don't want any more of your illusions. You have nothing left to offer me. Nothing." And then we see Scott show up. She says, "Jean," he says, "Jean, what's happening?" She says, "I've had enough." It's like, it's not how I imagined this going after all this time. She's like, oh my God, it's real. It's really you, your memories. You got sick. You died. It's like, I remember. I wasn't there. I couldn't protect you. But you died too, Jean. You know that, right? And now here we are, alive. Didn't think I'd ever see you again. So they get a moment together, husband and wife. And it's actually thanks to the Phoenix Force. It's the Phoenix Force last chip it can play, right? Join with me, Jean, and we can bring Scott back. And Scott says, or as Jean says, it's not supposed to be like this. I can't let. And Scott cuts her off. He says, I know. And that line that we saw Jean utter backwards at the beginning of the story, we're better off dead. And Scott ages in her arms. As he says, I'll always love you, Jean Grey. She says, I'll always love you too, Scott Summers. And he dies once again in her arms. And Jean says, tell me. Is that it? Was that meant to hurt me? I got one last chance to see my husband. That was all I wanted. It's not enough. I'm done. I'm done with all this. I won't play God with you anymore. I won't let you hurt me or the people I love. It's not fair to do that to me or anyone. I know I asked for your help once, right? I mean, that's how this all started, when Jean first was piloting that shuttle, and she wanted to do anything she could to save the X-Men, to save her friends, to save her family. She was such a powerful mutant. She called out across vast distances and found this force, the force that came to be known as the Phoenix Force. But she doesn't want it anymore. It's not worth it in her eyes. And of all the beings in the universe, why the Phoenix Force chose her? Well, it used to make Jean feel special. But now she doesn't feel anything at all. So it is interesting that Rosenberg puts that in there, because it's almost a little meta, right? Like, okay, Jean's died and come back so many times because of the Phoenix Force that we as readers and fans don't feel anything, because we don't believe it anymore, right? So Jean goes on to say, I was supposed to die on that shuttle all those years ago. I know that now. But you keep bringing me back. You want me to be something I'm not, something I'll never be. I wanted all these things from you. Things that no person should ever have. I don't know what your role in the universe is, but it's not with me. And the Phoenix responds, but don't you understand? Together we can be gods. We can transcend this place. We can be together. We can hide. We can go back to the beginning and change everything. And Jean doesn't want it. He's like, you don't understand. That's not how things are supposed to work. You're trying to protect me from pain and from losing people. She's like, I need to be able to do that on my own. I need to be able to protect myself from pain. Losing people is part of life. But the Phoenix Force says, you'll die without me, Jean. The people you love will die. And Jean's ready to accept that. It's like, yeah, I'll regret not being able to save people, but you're not letting me live. You're not letting me have a life. I don't want to die, but I need to be allowed to live. And that may be the most accurate thing that Jean says in the entire series. So she tells the Phoenix Force it needs to move on without her. She holds out her hand. She tells it that you need to forget I ever existed. And she holds the Phoenix Force in her hand, and it gets smaller and smaller, and it says goodbye, Jean Grey. And she says goodbye, and finally it disappears altogether. And we can tell that Jean is hurt by that. She feels the loss, but she's there among friends, kneeling in the rain of elsewhere, with the corpse of Cyclops at her feet, surrounded by her friends. And that's where the series ends. So where it goes from here, X-Men Red. I mean, those issues have already come out. I haven't read any of them. And again, I mean, the way Rosenberg had this play out, could the Phoenix Force remanifest itself if another writer so chooses? I mean, Jean held it in her hand, so maybe it is still inside her somewhere. We don't know. It'll, time will tell. But like anything in comics, it certainly isn't permanent. So, it was a good story. It was entertaining, but again, it did feel a little tired. But I did appreciate what Rosenberg was trying to do. He was trying to make it emotional. He was, in his mind, trying to put a final period on this Jean Grey Phoenix like mess, right? The whole like, it's old, it's tired, it's been done to death. And it's hard to write a character and have that character have growth and emotion and evolve. And what do you do when the character is as powerful as Jean Grey is when she possesses the Phoenix Force? She is like unto a god, right? So then how do you challenge her when she can just, at the snap of a finger, defeat anyone? Maybe that's why they kill her so often. Right. She becomes just an ex deus machina, just a way to end the story, a way to defeat the villain with just a wave of the hand. So I'm curious what other people thought about the series. Again, I mean, I have a feeling if I can get back into the X-Men and like go way back and start reading up through and get caught up, then I may look at the story in different terms because I don't have a lot of context for it. I mean, again, I tried to, I went to Marvel Wiki and I read like the Jean Grey pages there and tried to, you know, understand what was going on before I read this, but still it's not the same as reading the actual issues. Obviously you're just getting the broad strokes. So, but as I said, I did enjoy it. Thought the art was really well done by all the artists involved, especially the Carlos Pacheco issue two. And the color work was really done really well also. And I feel like Matthew Rosenberg does know the X-Men very well. He has their voices down extremely well. Love the scripting, the dialogue, the little one-liners. That's all great. And I do hope that the X-Men universe is cleaned up, as I was talking about at the beginning of the episode. Just because I think it needs to be. It's all a little convoluted at this point with X-Men Blue, X-Men Gold, X-Men Red. We need one X-Men. We need some of the people, I think, to be taken off the stage, so to speak, so we can have a core group of characters and kind of reestablish the status quo and tell new stories going forward. Obviously, you don't want to go backwards, but some of the things are just really strange, and again, a lot of it's because I haven't been keeping up on X-Men. But as far as this as a standalone, you can read it if you haven't been reading X-Men, and you can get something out of it. It is a relatively entertaining story, but unless you're willing to do a little bit of research, you're going to have to be, or maybe you're caught up on X-Men, you don't need to do research. But if you do want to read it without any background at all, you are going to have quite a few questions, and you're probably going to be wondering, well, who's that character? Who's that character? Who's that character? Because it is, it does assume you're up on your X-Men history to some extent. So anyway, I did enjoy it. And if you do read it, let me know your thoughts, because I'm very curious about that. So thanks for joining us, everybody. Please tell your friends about us. Subscribe and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or whatever platform you use. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on iTunes. Also, all past episodes of the podcast are available there, as well as at LRM Online. While you're at the site, please check out all the other pop culture coverage of your favorite and upcoming movies and TV shows. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.